I'm glad how Christian used this picture yesterday night. All mankind, when they think of the origin of human existence, they always think how this may have happened. Creationists, they think of the teachings of the Bible and interpret in their own way, and science tries to research anything and use analytical methods, and they discuss and debate a lot, and then everything is dead. And even Christians among themselves do not agree to each other. Some say so, some other way. The wonderful thing is, as we saw, God, first of all, doesn't care for that. How Earth came into existence in Genesis 1. This became new to me so much. We don't have to say too much about this. The Lord showed us that it has to do with us. It's just a repetition. That's really wonderful. And the Lord has to give grace to us that what we heard in these first three meetings, that we would appreciate that. We need an appreciation of what the Lord did. He did so much. From darkness, He brought forth light. What touched me most of all was yesterday night. He brought forth the dry land, and this land is right in our spirit. Formerly I thought it's the earth, simply the earth. Well, it is the earth, but the Lord wants to show us this is our spirit. The Lord really made our spirit that was dead before we became believers. He really set this free. He drove back the sea, the waters of the sea, symbolizing death. He moved it back. He created land. That's the last precondition for creating life. And that's what we read. Right on the third day, after having created the earth, He delivered our spirit from the waters. He right away brought forth life. He didn't wait. Right on that third day, He brought forth grass. He brought forth herbs, says bushes, grass, bushes and trees. So trees later on. Well, trees. With trees with fruits, bearing fruits. Are we creative? Well, grass and bushes, plants, bearing fruit, seed bearing. And this is fruit bearing. Fruits also have seeds. Fruits that contain seeds according to their kind. We read this, right? It's wonderful, right? Life is wonderful. It's nothing simple. It is impossible to man to bring forth life. We can research everything, analyze, try to understand, but you cannot bring forth life. No one has done it yet. Even simple life, grass, like grass, we find everywhere, is something very special, unique. You can't create this. God can create this. He made everything in order to for this life to come into existence. When we became believers, there was life, grass. Grass, if you look at it, it's beautiful. It's juicy, it's green when there was rain, and it's nice to look at it. Life shows you, grass shows you, when you are saved, there is life. So if you receive the Lord as your life into you, then the first form He created, the form of life He created, is grass life. It's a life that is coming out very quickly, getting green quickly, growing quickly. Lord is really wise because he shows right on the third day. It's the first kind of life he brought forth. He right away shows a difference. That is, life is not the same as life. There are different sorts of life. There is grass life, there is the herb life, and the tree life, the fruitful life. So why then does he make, that's why he makes a difference in Genesis 1. These differences are very important to us. If we have received this life, we do have to know what is the difference between grass, herb, and tree. For a spiritual life, that is very important, crucial. Imagine, grass, we don't have to think a lot. It's just what the scripture says about grass. Grass is simply wonderful. It gives green pastures nicely. But grass has a characteristic, it has only short roots. Right? So if only 2 weeks the sun is shining and heat is coming, and grass is withering very quickly, right? And then if it starts raining again, it becomes green quickly again. So it's quite quickly changing. And that's our experience, right? When we are still children in faith, using the picture we read yesterday, Ephesians and Corinthians, well, it was Corinthians, I think, and Hebrews, right? Lord says, you are still infants, you are still children. And this grass is really a form of condition of childish life. The problem with the grass is it looks nice, but when wind comes, it's tossed to and fro. It's really quickly done. You can realize with the grass, it doesn't have deep roots and no strong hold. It is tossed about by the waves, as Paul says. It is a wonderful life we have received, but it is not a stable condition. We can read a few verses that say something about grass, right? If you read 1 Peter 1:24, 1 Peter 1:24. Yes, 1 Peter 1:24. It says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Right? That is the nature of grass. It looks good once in a while. It has nice blooming sometimes, but its nature is very unstable. And that is our experience, right? We are also very unstable. I remember when I came to the church life 5 years ago, and I really started my life with the Lord. I enjoyed it so much, really. I was sometimes really filled. But after 1 to few days, all this life was gone, all of a sudden. It was so unstable. I came to the meeting later on and I got filled again. I really enjoyed the meetings and the life that was in the meetings. Enjoyed the fellowship, the sharing of the brothers, the word, appreciated it always. I enjoyed it. I was filled. I was blooming, blossoming. But then I went back home again, 2 or 3 days, everyday living, and the troubles. It became hot, the heat came, and I dried up. Completely my own thoughts, far away my own emotions, nothing of the glory of the Lord anymore I had enjoyed. So the grass really withered in my personal experience. But this is not what we should imbibe. There are herbs, as well. Let's look what the scripture says about herbs or bushes. Jeremiah 17:5. Let me just read it to you. Jeremiah 17:5. It speaks about the bushes. It says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh a strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." He shall be like a shrub in the desert, it says here. A shrub. That's what the Lord says about bushes or shrubs. Maybe a shrub has a little more deeper roots. But in the desert, it's barren. He cannot survive. So we see it's the wonderful life the Lord gave us. But the whole Bible shows that it's not the form of life the Lord intended for us. He wants us to become trees. Let's read it ourselves. It's so nice how we can continue to read in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes." Here we see life like a tree. Isn't this good? The Lord shows us we shall be like trees. So Psalm 52, we can also read verse 10. Psalm 52, verse 10. Speaking about the trees, "I'm like a green olive tree. I do trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God," it says. Verse 8. The Lord shows us we shall be like trees. And He doesn't only show us we should be trees, but He Himself likens Himself to a tree. He was a tree of life in the paradise. The Lord is a tree of life we should eat of. And who's a tree of life in the very end, in the Revelation? The Lord Himself. And what? We shall be trees as well. Even Psalm 1 speaks about this. He's like a tree planted of the brooks of water, bearing its fruit at its time, and whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 3 in Psalm 1. We really have to see it and have to know our own condition. We have to know what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to be trees. Whenever we notice we have been tossed about by waves, we have to remind the Lord, "Lord, your word you say, we shall be trees." He is like a tree planted, hallelujah, by the rivers of water, amen. Whom does someone speak of? He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's, well, also a picture of the Lord Himself. But it also says, verse 2, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." Isn't this wonderful? How do we become trees? It says, "Delights in the law of the Lord alone, and meditates in His law day and night." When we live our own life, we may have the life of the Lord, but we still live every day in our own thoughts, our own emotions, only care for the earthly things. We are not trees. If the sun comes and we realize our spiritual life, our relationship with the Lord really goes down the river. We're not stable. But what do we see here in Jeremiah 17? We have the wrong concept sometimes. When we follow the Lord, we think everything should be good. There is always green pasture. Well, you can also see the desert here and the heat of the day. We have to know it, see it. Otherwise, we will be frustrated in our lives with the Lord. We enjoy the Lord and are filled with Him, but all of a sudden, a desert comes where the day brings forth heat. And we are frustrated. We think, how can this happen? But the word shows this is intended by the Lord. It belongs together. Otherwise, we would always remain grass. And always need sunshine. But the Lord wants us to be trees, having deep roots. How do we know the tree's roots? We will realize when he is in the desert and still is green. That's the characteristic of the tree. You don't see the roots, but you can see the tree is still green, even if it's getting hot. So we have to know, even if it's getting hot with us, we do not feel the Lord or emotions so much. We have to have roots, that's crucial, in order to remain green. These situations serve. We would have roots established. Our stableness is proven by the Lord. When we say the Lord comes soon and the Lord wants to come back, we have to clearly know grass and shrubs are not sufficient anymore. The nature of it corrupts. It's tossed about by the wind. And Paul had this problem with the Hebrews and Corinthians, that they were like children, like infants. You read yesterday, tossed about by every wind of teaching. They were not stable. And the problem with Paul was he wanted to reveal Christ in his fullness, but he couldn't do it. He told them, he explained, he described Christ to them as the rich high priest, the full supply Christ wants to give. And then he said, I would have to say to you much more about him, I cannot do it. We read these verses yesterday, because you are getting dumb listening, growing dull in listening. It is, we need to grow. We cannot abide in the form of grass in our natural life and express Christ in its fullness. No way. We only have the life the Lord has given us. That was the problem with the Corinthians and the Hebrews as well. They had the rich Christ, but could not receive him in his fullness. So the same it is with us and with many Christians. Our relationship with the Lord is only reduced to, Lord, fill me, I want to enjoy the Lord, cleanse me from my sins. But the Lord is much more than only a cleansing from our sins. The Lord has great fullness he wants to manifest, and we need this fullness in order to obtain maturity. Without the fullness the Lord wants to reveal to us, we will not reach maturity. We have to know the full Christ. We only know Christ as our forgiveness of sins and our enjoyment. But have we recognized Christ as our true righteousness in our whole walk? We have to know him deeper, experience him deeper in our lives. That's why we need Christ. So we have to leave behind form, the form of grass. You shouldn't be discouraged and say, oh, I'm only grass. Well, it's the nature contained within us. But we also have the nature of the tree within us. So when we say we are tossed about by waves, we must say, Lord, I put off the form of the grass. Make me a tree. The Lord has to divide to bring, in order to bring forth life. That's what we saw here. The grass here is a mixture of cells, a heap of cells. Some leaves, some roots, that's enough. But the tree has a lot more cells. Leaves, wood, roots, all kind of fibers. That's why we have to divide in our lives. The sinner, first of all, is quite clear, is rather wood. Sin in us has to die. And when we separate and divide sin in our lives, we will become more stable. That's my experience when I came to the church. I put off sin. Christ's sins I put off. These sins gave me stableness. He's putting off gave me stableness. I wasn't tossed about anymore. I did not have to think anymore, do I go here, do I go there? No, I was dead to the world. But it goes on, we saw. This division is getting more refined, much finer. And we have to divide much more in us. In this tree, you can see a lot of division. The living part is outside here. Everything, the wood outside of the trunk is usually dead. But the life is flowing inside the tree from up and down and down and up to the roots. That's like in us. If we don't separate, don't divide, you should tell to sin to yourself, to old nature, you say, you will be dead. You shall be dead and become wood. You don't. You should better judge it. You say, do not agree to my emotion. If my emotion bothers me, this emotion should become wood. That's how you become stable. And someone you read, you meditate on his words day and night. That's the stableness. You rich have the word of God dwell in you richly. The Lord wants to present you blameless before himself. Are we blameless already? No. It's a process, a development, but the Lord wants to do it. That's why we have to be one with the Lord. Lord Jesus, everything unclean in me, it will have to die. Don't think your flesh will change. No, it will never change. It's vivid if you let it live. It will not get better. The only way to bring our flesh to silence is I kill it. I make it wood of the cross. Kill it. That's how I become stable and cooperate with the Lord constantly and pray. We make a morning watch in the morning and we say it's good. And then we eat lunch later on. And then before the meal we pray, and in the evening we pray again. That's good. It strengthens our spirit, but it's not enough. Actually, Lord, pray unceasingly. Because life in us is active, constantly active. 24 hours a day, our life is working, operating. So our thoughts, what do our thoughts do 24 hours? Are our thoughts in the form of herbs, wandering to and fro, here and there, with many earthly things, dead things? We have to be aware. Our thoughts are active 24 hours. So that's why the Lord says, pray unceasingly. Turn to the Lord constantly. To bring the Lord before himself. Bring the word before him. Creating me what is well pleasing to you. Sanctify and cleanse me. And then we pray so much for ourselves. And then we will grow. And then we start praying for others as well. This is a sign of growth in the Lord. You do not only think of yourself anymore, but you think of others and what the Lord wants. When I was a child at home, I had everything. We had a large house, large farm building, and I could enjoy everything. But there was a time coming, I became older, and I thought, my parents the whole day work on the fields, and I sit at home and enjoy everything. But then I thought, okay, I should help my parents. So then my focus was not only on myself, but my desire was, I want to help my parents. That's how the Lord says, my food is, I do the will of the one who sent me. That means we have to develop that. Do we only turn us around ourselves? We're only children in the form of grass. But the Lord wants to make us mature, grown up, full-grown man. We read these verses yesterday, didn't we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me read it. We read from verse 54 to 57. And then it goes on. I read 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thanks be to God. Gives us the victory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the Lord in us is wonderful. That's why, my beloved brothers, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we know that this is our calling, right? Being steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. We were not created to be grass, but we were created to be immovable, steadfast. Paul had to exhort and encourage the Corinthians to be immovable. There you can see the tree. Why does the Lord want us to be trees? He told us in Genesis, trees that bear fruit, containing their seeds. The herbs, the shrubs, the grass also has a kind of seed according to its kind. As soon as we have life, we have the seed. Every seed on earth, as primitive as it may be, it has seed. If it doesn't, it's the last of its kind. Then this life will no longer exist. But the lowest life was created by God with a seed. We shouldn't think too much about it. We do have it. The Word of God shows us. So you shouldn't think, I cannot sow the seed. You have it. You are fruitful. And the seed, there is a development with it. The Lord is not only satisfied with the seed. He wants us to spread it, to sow it, and the seed to bear fruit. The tree bears fruit. Who does unceasingly bear fruit? The Lord Himself. He is the tree bearing fruit unceasingly. And that's why he said in John, he wants us also to bear fruit. The Lord did so much. He divided the waters. He made the light. He prepared earth for it, for the things to grow. When I, as a son of a farmer, worked a lot on the fields, then why did we plow the field, plant it and grow and watered it? In order for the field, the ground to bear fruit, right? Everyone who works or plants, he wants fruit. So God is not different. God gave us life in order for us to bear fruit. The Lord says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He is the vine dresser. And He expects fruit from us. God expects good fruit from us. You read that in James 5:7? James 5:7, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. right? The Lord wants fruit. And Paul says that in Romans as well, even much clearer. We have been saved in order to bear fruit. Maybe we should also read this verse together. When we are saved, we have to be aware that salvation, this investment of the Lord, He is waiting. He is awaiting something from it. He sets us in this world in order to bear fruit. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who has raised, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Amen. Let's hold on to this verse, truly. I would like to write it down here. Romans 7, verse 4. We should bear fruit to God. Yes, we are ordained to bear fruit to God. We do not have to be large trees to bear fruit. You can be a small tree and still bear good fruit. I'm for 5 years of the church life. And I'm a little tree who's 5 years old. And I bring forth little fruit, right? Look at these trees outside. They're also not that old. Maybe 10 years, we could ask. But they're quite stable already. And I enjoy these small trees. They do not have that much fruit, but the fruit they have is very good, very tasty. I remember as a young boy, we had cherry trees that were the best, the small cherry trees. Maybe they only had 10 cherries, but they were, I could easily reach them. And they were juicy, sweet, delicious, fruity, really large cherries. That's why you shouldn't compare you with others. Oh, he's such a large tree and I'm so small. No, you simply bear the fruit according to your way of Christ. Just keep on growing and abide in the tree, nature of the tree, not in the nature of the grass, because grass doesn't bear fruit. It's hard to imagine how a grass should bear apple fruits or cherries. No juicy fruit, only small seeds, which is good, but not for your enjoyment. So, let us, in our growth, in our manner of growth, bring forth fruit. And the fruit we bring forth is for food, nourishing us and nourishing others as well. That's what I love, Psalm 52, verse 10. I yesterday enjoyed this really. Really have to look it up. All of us, right? Psalm 52, verse 10. We have to possess these verses as our own and bring it before the Lord. And verse 8, sorry. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for the green olive trees in the house of God. That's really good. 5 years ago, when I came to the church life, there were many olive trees. And these olive trees gave much oil to me. Very good olive oil. Very healthy, healing. And this brought forth my growth. So it's so good that we have so many brothers and sisters being olive trees in the house of the Lord. We have to have this consciousness. We are like olive trees in the house of the Lord. Not anybody else, but we are the olive trees in the house of the Lord. It's wonderful for the house of the Lord that there are olive trees. My experience is these olive trees are only in the house of the Lord. When we talk about olive trees, or read this in the Psalms, you always found this in connection with the house of God. In the house of the Lord, or in his outer courts, Psalm 91. It's my experience as well. When I came to the church life, I was really supplied. and nourished. What else will you say of the church than that there is much oil, much life, much spirit? The Lord Himself is in the church. It is difficult to talk about the church in another form except life. The church is characterized by life, by growth in life. And who is that? It's the Lord Himself. He is our growth. He is our true olive tree. And He is nourishing us. He's feeding all the saints. We saw the house of the Lord in Ezekiel, the prophet. There is much food, much supply, and the glory of the Lord being expressed through all the saints. It does matter where we are as Christians. We are not olive trees for our own, for ourselves, somewhere. But we should be in the house of the Lord. Really should say to the Lord, reveal your house to me. And if we have a taste of life, you will realize here I can develop to be a good olive tree. Here is the place for me to grow. This place is in the church. I have to testify, if I had not come to the church life with my old environment, I surely would have remained grass forever. Grass withers. And maybe later it was thrown into the fire. Is that the condition the Lord has ordained for us? Although it is a life, the Lord wants us to be green olive trees in His house. Praise the Lord. We really have to bear fruit. We can also say, I'm a long time in the church, I am also a tree, and I also bear fruit. There is another division. There is good fruit and bad fruit. We also have to be aware of that. To have this division as well. Separation. It is not about sin or not sin, but it is the spirit. It is about what is of the spirit and what is of myself. What does God want to have? Fruit. Fruit we bring forth from our own strength? Our own nature? No, surely not. God only likes fruit being brought forth through the Lord Christ Himself in us. You really have to say to the Lord, Lord, preserve me to bring forth anything else but only You. Amen. For this we have to consecrate ourselves to the Lord constantly. It's good to have this principle of fruit bearing, of this two different kinds of fruit bearing in the Old Testament in mind. There are always two seeds. One seed the Lord loves, the Lord is pleased with. The other one, not pleased. And it's not about sin or not sin. Abraham was a good man. Abraham was a friend of God. But he brought forth two different kinds of fruits, right? Ishmael and Isaac. The first fruit was of his own strength. His wife encouraged him to support God, push God in his doing. But only Isaac came forth from the power of God, and God was only pleased in him. The other fruit, he says, cast out the maidservant and her son. God made a clear division at that time from what comes out of ourselves and from what comes out of Christ. God only is pleased with the fruit coming of Christ. We should be encouraged. God, I want to bear fruit coming of Christ. That's really what pleases God. Fruits of righteousness. We should bring forth fruits of righteousness. What is that righteousness? Or you can say, who is your righteousness? It is Christ. Do we have our own righteousness? No, no way. We cannot trust on our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is quickly at its end. But God's righteousness abides forever. That is Christ. Available to us. Wonderful. That we can bring forth this righteousness as fruit. This needs a constant consecration to the Lord. It's not only about being barely saved or enjoy the Lord. But we saw we have to have this consciousness. Bring forth good fruit for the Lord. Being according to Him, being wrought of Christ in me. And these fruits of Christ being wrought in me are not fruits being shown on a certain list. This is good fruit, this is bad fruit. Well, Galatians says also there is good and bad fruit. But the fruit the Lord wants to work is something living in every situation, every thought. The Lord says, this must be a fruit of me. If you are in your own thoughts, the Lord should be able to say, well, this thought is of me, this thought is not of me, it's of you. This dividing we need. The Lord is living. It is not that simple to say we are believers, we are in the church, we have the true doctrine teaching. That's just a shell. We need the fruit. The fruit is the fruit of righteousness wrought by the Lord. That's an exercise, right? An exercise. In my nature, there is so much grass still, so many fruits not wrought of the Lord. But I have to repent. That's why he said in Matthew, we should bring forth fruit according to repentance. Turn away from the old things and bring forth fruits according to repentance. Wonderful. The Lord showed us He wants to make us trees to bring forth fruit, being wrought by Him. Now He says, He wants to make Himself to be fruits. He loves us to be mature. We are such an enjoyment to the Father God. The Lord gave Himself for that, for us to become mature, to be an enjoyment for the Father. That was His intention. All His life He supports us to grow and mature. That's why He shows everywhere in the Bible He wants to have fruit. That is first fruit. He wants to have these fruits being mature first, the first fruits. That's our intention as well. We want to be matured first, because the first fruits are very pleasant to God. It's very good. The first fruits are something special to God. We read this later. The Lord showed us in Romans 8, and all who became believers will be glorified. All believers shall be brought to glory. We will all be brought to glory. He makes it with all of us. The Lord has begun the good work, He will also finish it. This is very stable, very firm. The Lord will not change His work. If He started with us to plant life within us, He will bring us to full glory. This is firm. This is a full confidence and assurance. We have to reach this glory. How? Two ways to get there. In the end, we all will be glorified. But the Lord differentiates clearly. Some are brought to glory by preparing themselves. And others, He will bring to glory just as through fire, He says. So if we don't care for the growth today, being mature fruits to the Lord, the Lord will do it. He will bring us to maturity. for sure, sooner or later, and he will have his enjoyment. But if we don't ourselves today, make it today, eagerly, to brought to maturity, then the Lord says he will have to do it such as through fire. We will go through situations really unpleasant, where there will be nothing else but crying to the Lord. This will be such as through fire. Not an easy situation. The Lord makes it in all of us. But the 10 virgins are brought to maturity because 5 are prudent. They like what God likes. All the situations God has prepared, they are brought to maturity. And those 5 prudent will be first fruits. They will be very precious to him, which is written also in Revelation 4. I think he means Revelation 14, verse 4. Let's check. Yeah, Revelation 14. Excuse me. 14, verse 4. Oh, 3 and 4. Okay. Let's read all together. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the 4 living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth, verse 5, was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's read this verse, these verses in your personal time this afternoon. There was no lie in their mouths, no deceit. They were without blemish. In this condition, you can cooperate. Such first fruits we want to become, being prepared. It's our decision to be prepared in all situations. That's why the Lord gave the situation for. Don't say your situation is too difficult, or for you especially weary. Others have less troubles, but to me, well, the Lord gave you the situation in order to prepare you. We want that to become first fruits, and for these first fruits God gives a special reward. We have to apprehend this reward. It's a pity if we waste our time today not be prepared. He is seeking those that are voluntarily prepared to be first fruits. We are connected to the vine all the time, standing in his juice, in his life, in his sap. You can't cut off a grape after breakfast and in the evening put it back into the vine. Not possible. You have to be connected to the Lord the whole day, be filled with his life in order to be mature. Yes, praise the Lord.